Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. I watch EWTN at my house, so I know what a great privilege it is to be there. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we are delighted to have Jeanette Howe. She is the foundress of the Seven Sisters Apostolate, which inspires and encourages lay people to pray for the sanctity and the well-being of our priests and bishops. You could go to this great website, and I strongly encourage you to. It's sevensistersapostolate.org. So we had Jeanette on our show with Father Johnson. I think it was back in 2019.
Yeah, about 5 years ago or so.
Yeah, and so she's going to tell us all about the Seven Apostles and Seven Sisters Apostolate and what happened to the ministry from them. But and I'll tell you the story when, you know, at the end of the show, she handed me that booklet and she said to me, "You are an anchoress." And I said, "Yeah, I know, just not today. I got too much happening in my life." Yeah. And I put the book aside. And then every time thereafter, when I would just go into adoration, as we normally would go into adoration, the Holy Spirit would say, "Joy, I need you to pray. I need you to pray." And I said, "Father, I'm praying for my priest. I love my priest, blah, blah, blah." And he was like, "Get on that." So I handed Father Jerebik the booklet. I was trying to be obedient. And I said, "Father, if you want this, let me know." And I just gave him the booklet. Yeah. He was getting ready to fly on a plane. He read it on his plane ride. When he came back to Birmingham, he said, "Why wouldn't I want this?"
That's right. I remember that.
And I was like, "Here we go." And so we did.
So maybe the Lord's calling you to be one of those sisters interceding for an hour a day for your pastor, for your priest, for some priest somewhere that you feel a special kindred spirit with. And so let's undergird our priests to the glory of Jesus Christ and through the advocacy of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who really desires this ministry and I think is really behind this ministry to pray for priests. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are delighted to have Jeanette Howe with us. She is the foundress of the Seven Sisters Apostolate. Now, this beautiful organization inspires and encourages lay people to pray for the sanctity and the well-being of our priests and our bishops. And this beautiful website, I want you to go out to it. You're going to learn a lot. It's sevensistersapostolate.org. Well, so I told my little story in the beginning about how at the end of the show, and you and Father did a great job the last time we had you on, and then you were very intentional about handing me that booklet. And I was trying to be really nice to you, lady. I was like, "Okay, lady, that's okay." So, but it was beautiful. And it's obviously, this is what our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit and Jesus want, right?
Yes.
So tell our family first a little bit about you and how this beautiful apostolate actually got started.
Okay, a little bit about me.
Yes.
So my husband Jeff and I, we've been married well over 40 years.
Wow.
We've lived in St. Paul, Minnesota our whole life. We got married in the Catholic Church. However, I wandered away, he followed me, and we were away from the church for 10 years. I am a revert, however, to the faith, 25 years this year. So it's my jubilee year.
Yay.
How about that? So it was meant to be here. And my husband became a convert then a couple of years later in 2001. God blessed us with a couple of children. We have a daughter who calls Omaha her home. She's married. And we have a son who serves as a priest in the Archdiocese of Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And he just celebrated 11 years of ordination last week.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
so,
congratulations, it's wonderful.
So before this got started, this apostolate, tell our family, what you were doing, minding your own business. Yeah. You were praying for your priest. It wasn't like you were not.
Right.
How did it get started?
Yeah, and you know, just entering back into the Catholic life, the richest life. I always tell my friends, it's the richest life. And I felt like the Eucharist was such an important part of that return, if not the only reason, that I started an apostolate at that time called Truth Himself, which sends Eucharistic reflections every day. Still happens. And I was happy doing that.
Yeah.
And of course, no Eucharist, no priest, no priest, no Eucharist. We know that. And I started to pray for my priest. He was the rector of the cathedral, our Father Johnson, who was here before. Just a simple holy hour that I was praying for him once a week. I thought I wanted to fuel what he was showing, his generosity of the priesthood. He loved the priesthood. He loved serving as a priest. And he was the rector of a cathedral, a big place to be a priest. So I started that holy hour once a week. And it wasn't easy at first, but each week got a little bit better. I felt like I was a student in the School of Intercession. And I began to look forward to the Thursday where I was praying my holy hour for Father Johnson.
Yeah. Well, I remember when you were on some years back, and I don't know how many states you were in at that time, and we really prayed. The next time you come back, you know, we want you in all 50 states, and you've gone to different countries now and so on. And then you did give Joy the booklet. And so I was like, Joy, you really need to think about this because, you know, you do so much and you're interceding and how are you going to do this? Yeah. And the one who said, we want it everywhere, but we got to do it.
Right?
And you know, the thought of an hour for me, for Joy in prayer, she's a real intercessor. She has to pray for me too, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying, you're going to give it one hour, like for one person?
Yeah.
I mean, but it's a, But Joy's very discerning and so on, and then she really made this decision, I want to do this. I know not everybody can do that for an hour, and it's not you're more spiritual than somebody else, but the thought of a whole hour, and so many people don't pray for a whole hour, you know, in a week or something. So, yeah, it's a very special call. Could be a little bit intimidating, you know, as you say it. But share more about that.
Yeah, so it's the perfect segue into saying that really it's a response at the heart of responding to Christ himself. Can you not watch with me for an hour in that place of Gethsemane? He's inviting us into that passion. And really that's the heart of what we are doing. We are entering into that hour. The church esteems a holy hour. Jesus himself esteems the hour of prayer. And so we're imitating him really at the very essence and heart. And so when I was praying those hours for Father, I was thinking of nothing beyond that. Yeah. But again, as I said, I was in a school of intercession. Yeah. I didn't know quite how to do it, how to pour myself out in that 1 hour for one person. And in that, I guess that place of humility I had to be in, the Holy Spirit responded and taught. And I think this happens to all seven sisters that come in. It's like, how do I do this? How do I go about this? But they're coming really in imitation of Christ into that call.
Yes, and an imitation of Our Lady.
Yes.
Right, you think of those texts that speak about and Jesus and his people went here and there, and there was this group of holy women that were with him. You know, it's just kind of a line about who were they? And maybe we know a name or two. Why were they with him? Yeah. And they provided for him.
Yes.
You know, out of their means and with their prayers. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if you spoke with them as we're speaking with you, they would say, we pray way beyond 1 hour for this this prophet, this man, this whoever we're learning him to be. Mm-hmm. And it's not that arduous for us. We love him. Yeah. He's bringing to us the words of life. We've never heard anyone like him. And so I think, you know, it's a call for all of us to pray for priests. Without a doubt, there's a place for everybody. But there's a special place, it seems, for women, a special place for Our Lady, for Mary Magdalene, for these other holy women that were with him. Jesus loved to be with Mary and Martha in Bethany and Lazarus, right? He would always go there. You know, what was it about them that he wanted to be with them? They welcomed him in. So there is a real special place for women, isn't there? I mean, uniquely in terms of love and nurturing and affirming the ones that our Lord's calling into the priesthood.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you were speaking, I was thinking love enkindles love. And so that love that comes to us really expands our desire and our ability to love. And in that time with Father Johnson, that 1 hour, I was just dutifully doing it as I was called to do it, asked to do. Again, I began to look forward to every Thursday, and I was probably praying for about 9 months. And then this call came here, not here, and in my interior. Mm-hmm. And the word was seven sisters. You spoke about women. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm being moved to pray seven sorrows. So when I grabbed the seven sorrows chaplet from my purse, it came very clear again, here, not here.
Yeah.
And it was seven sisters in that really beautiful, firm, but gentle way. So I had to figure out, what does that mean? So I opened it up to Father Johnson. The next week, I had a time of direction with him. And I asked him, you know, help me know what this means. I did not call it an inspiration. But Father, in his discernment, felt that this was an inspiration. But he said, we have to test the spirits. And here's my response. Well, what about the men?
Right.
And Father says, does seven sisters sound like men? I think the Lord is calling women into this work. And there'll be a place for men. We'll see. So for 1 year, we had seven groups of seven women praying for seven pastors in Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Mm. Yeah. And so that was the birthing place.
That was the birthing
and
place.
And that was the test,
yes.
Right? To say, is this going to catch fire?
Right.
Or is it going to be extinguished?
Right.
You know, the thing about you are praying for an hour. I mean, you just felt led to do that,
yes.
A holy hour for priests and so on. And it's really special, and you're special. It was an inspiration, but you're not that special. I think that's what you got, is that, okay, there must be, like, this should be a wide call.
Yeah.
You know, like, there must be many women like Our Lady and the women at that time, and Christ is calling these men to a special consecration and to be a groom, so to speak, you know, to the church and to love the church and to be celibates. Mm-hmm. Most of our priests are celibates, and to give their lives in this way, to be wedded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course he wants women. So I'm doing this, but this might be more common than I think it is.
Yeah.
And you offered it to others, and then your groups begin.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, we do have an obligation to pray for priests. You do,
right.
I do. Scripture supports that. We're to pray for those in authority. This is one way of responding to that obligation, which I will say that seven sisters along the way, somewhere along the way, say, you know what? This is more than an obligation. This is a privilege.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And so putting ourselves before the Blessed Sacrament, our hearts change. Again, love and kindling love. And so men are able to be subs. They can sub in if they understand. But again, we're really being honoring to what God has named it. I did not name this. He named it. And it is his work. And I respect that. And I hope to respect it all the way till my end. Men are also fasting for the apostle. And I think we'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. Okay. But there are places as well.
For men to participate.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But to begin with, women.
Mm-hmm. And so if people go to your website, because I'm sure there's people that are watching and saying, I've never heard of Seven Sisters, because one of the beautiful things is that it's hidden.
It is.
It's not like it's out there in the church bulletin and there's seven faces. You know, it's
right.
You know, none of that. It really is a hidden, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are probably parishes where it is happening, and a lot of the other parishes don't even know it's happening.
Exactly.
Because it is so hidden. And it's the way that is designed. It's more of Jesus and less of you.
That's
and
right.
God is beautifully using
said.
You as an intercessor to cry out on behalf of your priest.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's what I love about it, is the hiddenness of it.
It's a real thrill of heart to most women, because the women that seem to be attracted to it are women that would say, I don't really care if anybody else knows that I'm praying. Mm-hmm. God knows, and the priest knows.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't keep it hidden from the priest. We want him to be open to the graces or the bishop. But it is hidden in the sense that we move along, like Mary Magdalene at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Who noticed her? No one noticed her until that, you know, flask was opened and the aroma hit the atmosphere. That's when people noticed her. So I tell women, the aroma of our prayers, that's when people will notice mm-hmm. what we are doing. Mm-hmm. Not us personally, but just the efforts that we give forward.
And I guess maybe it's the same Mary Magdalene, but who dried his yes. feet mm-hmm. with her hair. Mm-hmm. What is that about? But it seems to me, I always think that, I don't think women really walked around that much with the hair all the way down. But anyway, to me, it's like offering her femininity.
Yeah, beautiful.
And he's healed her, and she's mm-hmm. truly feminine and all the great qualities and grandeur and uniqueness about that. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about a woman and a holy woman, a blessed Virgin Mary and those other holy women, just giving themselves to him. You know, there's yeah. something in a woman yeah. to care, to nurture, to defend mm-hmm. in that way, to affirm in that way, to stand with, to undergird. And when they're really holy, they don't manipulate.
Right.
Like Jesus, Our Lady, how many times, I just wondered myself, what, get him down off the cross, it's my boy, that's my son. But she was committed to the purpose and will of the Father for him.
Exactly.
More than, well, they were united in that. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of women we need praying
exactly.
for these holy priests who mm-hmm. they're married to the church and wedded to the Lord. They don't have wives.
Yeah.
And they need holy women that want nothing from them mm-hmm. but to fulfill the plan that God has for them. And these women are to blow upon the sail of God's plan for that man.
Yeah, beautifully said. We like to refer to it as a lavishing of our prayer. It's in the mouth of Judas in one of the Gospels where we're seeing Mary Magdalene at the feet of Jesus. In the mouth of Judas came the words, you're wasting this, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we like to think of it, it's a holy wasting, mm-hmm. right? Some might look at it and say, it's a whole hour for one person. Can't you pray for the whole world in that 1 hour? Sure. But in this particular lavishing, we are wasting, in
wow.
quotes, that whole
mm-hmm.
hour. It's mm-hmm. a beautiful way to just learn. Some women have said to me, interestingly enough, I am understanding a little bit about how the Lord prays for me, mm. how He individually prays for me. I am learning how to individually pray for another.
Yes.
So these deep things that come only by mm-hmm. prayer.
Right.
Right.
Well, we're going to take a break at this point.
Okay.
We're going to hold you over for the final segment.
Okay.
And I just pray that the Holy Spirit is ministering this witness, this inspiration that's been given. And maybe that you're being called to be one of these seven sisters praying for your pastor, your priest. You can do this if God's really placed this into your heart. So listen further and seek the Lord about it. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Continuing our conversation with Jeanette Howe, the founder of the Seven Sisters Apostolate. So share with us a little bit more in the short time we have here in this closing segment, just about kind of the structure for these okay. seven ladies that are together. Who's who, what's what,
sure.
who connects with the priest, what does the priest have to do if he desires this?
Yeah, so that time that I was in the Holy Hour for Father Johnson, when the term Seven Sisters, I thought, wow, I got it in an instant when I sat with it, and I thought, here I am offering this one holy hour for Father, but if others were offering and filling in the blank, so to speak, of a whole week, how beautiful would that be?
Yeah.
The hour was edifying for me. I hoped it was edifying for Father, but multiply that.
Right.
And so the structure came about so simply, it made sense. It was a complete week. So when a woman, she commits to one day
right.
of the week, and then within that day, she can commit to one of the 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
She can, it's her choice. It does not have to be the same hour every time. Same day, though. So there are seven women committing to this 1 week, and so the hours for this priest or bishop are seamless, because the woman that prays on Monday, for instance, she's going to come back next Monday.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have this great pressure of praying for all of Father's life.
Right.
She prays for the next 7 days,
mm-hmm.
right? She considers the next 7 days. So that's how it goes. There is a leader, And the leadership we call an anchoress. That's the name of the leader. She is the one that's a contact for the bishop or the priest. She lets Father know, or the bishop know, we have a gift for you. We are going to be praying seamless holy hours for you for at least 1 year. We hope to renew, but at least 1 year. So expect it. And then if that priest or bishop has any intercessions, it is the priest or bishop that will contact the anchoress. So we leave that conversation to them. Mm-hmm. We don't bother the priest or bishop with those kinds of questions. And I would say for the majority of priests, they don't offer the intercessions, but some do.
Yeah, I think one of the things we did with Father was we asked him, I said, well, tell me who your favorite saints are. Mm-hmm. So he listed his four favorite saints. I let all the seven sisters know so that when we go into intercession, I'm calling them right down. You know, I'm like, I know he loves you, you love him.
No, Father Jerebeck.
And so, you know, because mm-hmm. It's a greater connection
Amen.
To yeah. his heart's desire too, you know, because all you want to do is be a blessing. That's mm-hmm. all that you want to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's always helpful. And so all the seven sisters know his four favorite saints, and we pray alongside with them.
Beautiful.
Right?
And the particular day of the week becomes important to the mm-hmm. women too. A woman who prays on Saturday, she understands this devotionally is Our Lady's Day. Mm-hmm. And so maybe her prayers will be formed a little bit yeah. different.
Right.
And so on and so forth. So there's a beautiful sense of really owning that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We just have a minute left. Where do they do this? Where are they praying? In their homes? Where?
Good question. So the Holy Hour is prayed as traditionally known. Oh. In okay, the right. adoration gotcha. Chapels, but if you pray in front of the tabernacle, that's perfectly fine as well.
Right. But if something comes up, can they, like, yeah. maybe they take an ill or something?
Yeah.
They can just...
Some groups have subs, or okay. if something sudden comes up, inclement weather, something you're not counting on that happens in the home, pray your hour at home if mm-hmm. you're able to do mm-hmm. that. Perfectly yeah. acceptable.
Jeanette, thank you so much, mm-hmm. and we look forward to tomorrow sharing
okay.
further and unpacking this more fully. Hope that you're really being blessed. Be a part of the solution. Whatever time you can give, pray and intercede for your priest and consider becoming a part of the Seven Sisters Apostolic. Go right there to the website. God's already placed this in numerous hearts out there. There's so many priests to cover throughout our country and throughout the world, and perhaps God's calling you. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.